We are pleased to have Brother Larry M. Gibson as today's devotional speaker. Brother Gibson is currently serving as the first counselor in the Young Men General Presidency of the Church. He has served previously as a stake president, a bishop, and as a ward and stake young men president. Brother Gibson's professional career has been in the technology sector, where he worked as a senior executive vice president and chief technology officer of a Fortune 500 company. He received a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in computer science and information science from BYU. He and his wife, Shirley, are the parents of six children. And now we'll have the opportunity of hearing from Brother Gibson.
My wonderful brothers and sisters, I consider it a sacred privilege to be with you. Please know that since receiving this invitation, you have been in my thoughts and in my prayers. And I pray now that the Spirit will edify us and touch each heart. I love this university. I studied here, was married while here, taught here, and served as a bishop here. Before my granddaughter left on her mission, she marked the fifth generation of Gibsons attending Brigham Young University, beginning with my grandfather, Robert Orson Gibson. Exactly 115 years ago this month, at the age of 18, he wrote the following for a BYU class. Quote, "Some people want to become noble, others want to become wealthy, and still others wise. And there are those who wish to become good. It would be very well to be all of these, but I would prefer most of all being known as good." Closed quote. This was the foundation for his plan for life. He truly was known as good, as he always strived to fulfill the will of Heavenly Father and treasured his family. Some of us may not have a life plan, as my grandfather did, or we might make plans that differ from Heavenly Father's plan. To paraphrase Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your plans my plans for you, saith the Lord." Heavenly Father believes in plans. He has a plan for the salvation of his children and a specific plan just for you. It is referred to as the plan of happiness because it is designed to bring us happiness in this life and a fullness of joy in the life to come. It includes first the creation of a world in which we would live and be united as husband and wife in marriage. Second, a fall, which would allow Father's Spirit children to come into mortal families. Third, a Savior, who in addition to breaking the bands of death, would atone for all sin, allowing us to partake of the gift of repentance. Fourth, immortality for all of God's children through the miracle of the resurrection. And fifth, the opportunity for us and our families to return to our heavenly parents, prepared for exaltation and eternal life. This plan was presented to us while we lived as spirit children with our heavenly parents, who are the consummate examples of a perfect husband and wife and father and mother. Oh, how we must have loved them and wanted to be just like them. Their perfect love for each other and us is eternal. And they wanted us to have all that they have. We must have rejoiced when we heard of the plan that would open the way for us to become as they are, even though it meant leaving their presence. In her inspiring and tender hymn, Eliza R. Snow reflects on heavenly parents. In the heavens, are parents single? No, the thought makes reason stare. Truth is reason, and truth eternal tells me I have a mother there. Regarding our mother in heaven, President Spencer W. Kimball shared this thought. We get a sense of the ultimate and maternal modesty of the restrained queenly elegance of our heavenly mother. And knowing how profoundly our mortal mothers have shaped us here, do we suppose her influence on us as individuals to be less if we live so as to return there? Closed quote. Continuing, Sister Snow expresses the profound desire we all feel to one day return to the loving embraces of our heavenly parents. When I leave this frail existence, when I lay this mortal by, Father, Mother, may I meet you in your royal courts on high. Then at length, when I've completed all you sent me here to do, with your mutual approval, let me come and dwell with you. Do you understand why marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children? We are here to experience in a mortal and imperfect way what we desired to receive in an immortal and perfect home. Family life as husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, is preparing us for eternal life. Our beloved Father is not just interested in you returning home. His desire is that you return prepared to be exalted and eternal. He knows that you cannot achieve this supreme goal on your own, and He knows that it's not good for us to be alone. Today, I would like to highlight two companions that Father's plan provides to help you fulfill your eternal destiny: the eternal companionship of a loving spouse and the divine companionship of the Holy Ghost. I was here at BYU when I married my eternal companion, Shirley, who was already well on her way to divinity. She was pure and a light to all whom she met. And I vividly remember the night she proposed to me. She might remember that conversation differently, but as I recall, she asked me this question: Larry, do you know why I love you? Now, she had never used that term before, so to me, it was a proposal. And I knew I must be careful how I answered. No. Why do you love me? I love you because I know you love the Lord more than you love me. And with that love, we can make it back to our heavenly home. That answer struck my heart. I could not imagine a young girl of 19 wanting her future husband to love anything more than her. But she had a deep spiritual maturity. I did not fully comprehend what she said that evening, but I wanted her to always feel that I loved the Lord above all else. She saw in me the person I could become rather than who I was. I remember going home that night and pleading with the Lord to allow me to stand at her side as her eternal companion and promising that I would always strive to be the kind of man she hoped I was. What a marvelous companion she is, and I love her. Do you remember the verse in Job that says, "The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy"? I know why we sons shouted for joy. We knew that if we lived according to God's plan, we would have the miraculous blessing of journeying through mortality and eternity with one of these choicest daughters of God. It does not specifically say that the daughters of God cheered, but I'm confident that they did. I know who you sons of God really are, and that's why they cheered. I believe that as we both faithfully keep our sacred covenants as husband and wife, one day we will stand in awe of the great man or woman our eternal companion really is. When I was growing up, my parents often traveled from our home in southern Nevada to Salt Lake to attend General Conference. On one occasion, my mother brought me this small copper cast of the Salt Lake Temple. It sat on my nightstand throughout my youth, serving as a visual reminder of my goal for an eternal marriage. It's no wonder that I always wanted to be sealed in the Salt Lake Temple, even though our closest temple was St. George, Utah, where Shirley wanted to be married. Can you guess where we were sealed? You're right, the Manti Temple, which is halfway between. Now, if you were to ask Shirley, she would likely point out that the St. George Temple was closed that day, or we would have been sealed there. Either way, in our marriage, we have continued to strive for a pattern of oneness and unity in all we do. Elder David A. Bednar beautifully describes this pattern, quote, "The natures of male and female spirits complete and perfect each other, and therefore men and women are intended to progress together toward a fullness of glory. The unique combination of spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional capacities of both males and females were needed to implement the plan of happiness. The man and the woman contribute differently, but equally, to the oneness and unity that can be achieved in no other way. The man completes and perfects the woman, and the woman completes and perfects the man, as they learn from and mutually strengthen and bless each other." Closed quote. I love and cherish the daughter of God who is my companion. I once expressed gratitude to Father for Shirley, declaring that she was my most priceless possession. The Spirit quickly whispered, however, that she is not my possession, but Father's. If I am true and faithful to all of my covenants and keep the commandments and love her as Father loves her, then the day will come that we will be eternally together as one. This is the great and greatest work of salvation, and we need to hasten that work by forming our eternal families in the house of the Lord and then striving to bring about Father's plan for each family member. As husband and wife, mother and father, we are working to bring to pass salvation for Father's spirit children and eternal life for our whole family. If we live worthily, this blessing will be afforded each one of us in his due time. We cannot accomplish this work, which is ultimately God's work, without revelation from him, to us individually and as companions in marriage. That brings me to another companion Father has provided to help us fulfill his plan. Joseph Smith made it clear that no man or woman can receive the Holy Ghost without receiving revelation. The Holy Ghost is necessary for revelation, and revelation is necessary to successfully fulfill Father's plan for us. As the third member of the Godhead, the Spirit is the witness for the Father and the Son, and the righteous of all ages have enjoyed his companionship. President Wilford Woodruff taught, "If you have the Holy Ghost with you, and everyone ought to, I can say unto you that there is no greater gift, there is no greater blessing, there is no greater testimony given to any man or woman on earth. I claim that the gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift that can be bestowed." Closed quote. Of course, having this divine companion bestowed upon us is not enough. We must learn to retain the Holy Ghost, rely on him, and appropriately respond to his promptings. First, retaining the Holy Ghost. We must be worthy vessels to have this companionship. If we are not keeping the covenant we made at baptism and renewing each week as we partake of the sacrament to always remember the Savior and keep his commandments, we cannot expect Father to keep his part of the covenant to always have his Spirit to be with us. But if we sincerely try to keep the covenants, we are entitled to this miraculous blessing. Elder Dallin H. Oaks has said that the teachings of the Spirit often come as feelings, such as a feeling of comfort and serenity. That is the witness many receive. That is the way revelation works. Truly, the still, small voice is just that, still and small. For this reason, we must always be spiritually sensitive to those feelings. In my experience, the Holy Ghost is very sensitive to the environments in which we place ourselves. Clearly, the Spirit cannot remain with us while we are reading, listening to, or viewing anything that contains violence, inappropriate language, or any kind of immodesty. vile or immoral content. The Holy Ghost cares about your spiritual well-being. But if you engage in any of these things, you withdraw from Him, and the return is not easy. Do not let the world set your standards. The question for each of us is, how often do I want the Holy Ghost to be with me? The Lord's answer, as He has said, is always. Always. Our worthiness to have this constant companionship is an excellent indicator of how well we are following Father's plan. Second, relying on the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we may feel overly self-sufficient and do not rely as we should on the Holy Ghost as our guide. For example, do you remember that the Holy Ghost is a teacher? This has special application as you pursue learning, both here at BYU and throughout your life. Do you sufficiently seek His influence in your studies? The Savior promised that the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. This is always contingent, however, on our own preparation and effort. He will not do our work for us. The Holy Ghost is also a comforter. Occasionally we want things that we should not have. We pray and then agonize when what seems to us to be a righteous desire is not realized. An illness is not healed. We fail an examination that seems vital to our future. Or the Lord says no or not right now to our prayers. In these situations, if we submit ourselves to God's will, the Holy Ghost can soften the no. And as Elder Neil A. Maxwell says, He will comfort us and reassure us. The burden is not lifted from us. He will help us to bear and continue with joy the soul-searching journey. Closed quote. Develop the discipline to rely on the Holy Ghost always, not just in times of great need, and you will find that when those urgent moments arise, you will feel His comfort more readily and more deeply. No one can successfully fulfill Father's plan individually or in marriage without relying consistently on the Holy Ghost. And third, responding to the Holy Ghost. President Boyd K. Packer counsels, quote, "If you are slipping into things that you should not slip into, or if you are associating with people who are pulling you away in the wrong direction, that is the time to assert your independence, your agency. Listen to the voice of the Spirit, and you will not be led astray. As a servant of the Lord, I promise that you will be protected and shielded from the attacks of the adversary if you will heed the promptings that come from the Holy Ghost." Close quote. The Holy Ghost is a prompter and a prompter of good works. When opportunities to serve come, do not push them aside with thoughts of your busy schedule or feelings of inadequacy. We can each be instruments through whom the Holy Ghost functions. For example, you may be walking to or from class and feel an impression to call, speak to, or visit someone, perhaps even your sweetheart. I have found that immediately acting on these impressions increases my ability to fill them more completely in the future and helps Heavenly Father change my life and the lives of those I love. Respond promptly to promptings. I know that Heavenly Father is concerned about each one of us. He is the great architect of the magnificent plan of salvation and happiness. In addition to giving us a Savior in Jesus Christ, of which I testify, He has also provided a witness, companion, guide, and comforter in the Holy Ghost. And He has made eternal marriage essential to His plan for His sons and His daughters, that we may work together to achieve our eternal destiny, the continuation of the family into eternity, and the glory and power that our heavenly parents enjoy. May we live and work to qualify for the promise of these blessings in this life and their fullness in the life to come is my prayer. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.